Today is the 20th day of May. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It is great to be here with you today as we reach the conclusion of another week, as we move through today's reading, and they just go by day, step by step, week by week, month by month, and then all of a sudden, we find ourselves in May, or we find ourselves in some other month, and it's like the year just began, but here we are, and we're here to take the next step forward. And the next step forward leads us back into the saga of early Israel and Israel's first king, Saul. And this boy who had to grow up fast, who has also been anointed to be a future king named David. And Saul's relentless efforts to destroy and kill David before he believes that his household will be destroyed by David. And we're learning a lot about the character of people as we watch this story, and we're learning a lot about the places that the roads lead by the choices that we make. And so, let's pick up the story today, 1 Samuel, chapters 26, 27, and 28. The Ziphites came to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Do you know that David is hiding at the hill of Achalah, which is near the Badlands?" So Saul set out and went down to the wilderness of Ziph with 3,000 men who were specially chosen from Israel to search for David in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul set up camp near the road at the hill of Achalah, which is near the Badlands. David, however, stayed in the wilderness. When David heard that Saul had come into the wilderness to search for him, he sent out scouts who confirmed that Saul had come. So David moved out and came to the place where Saul had set up camp. David saw where Saul was sleeping, near Abner, son of Ner, the commander of his army. Saul was sleeping inside the defensive perimeter of the camp, and the rest of the men were camped around him. David responded to the situation by saying to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Joab's brother, Abishai, son of Zeruiah, "Who will go down with me into the camp to Saul?" Abishai said, "I will go down with you." So during the night, David and Abishai passed through the people in the camp, and they saw that Saul was sleeping inside the defensive perimeter of the camp, with his spear stuck into the ground beside his head. Abner and the rest of the men were lying all around him. Then Abishai said to David, "God has delivered your enemy into your hand today. Please let me strike him and pin him to the ground with my spear. One blow. That's all I'll need. I won't need to strike him a second time." But David said to Abishai, "Do not destroy him. For who can stretch out his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David continued, "As the Lord lives, the Lord will strike him, or his day will come and he will die, or he will go down into battle and be swept away. May I be cursed if I stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Now go and take the spear that is beside his head and the jar of water, and we will go." So David took the spear and the jar of water that were next to Saul's head, and they left. No one saw them. No one knew anything. No one woke up. They were all sound asleep because a deep sleep from the Lord had fallen on them. Then David moved over to a position across from the camp and stood on the top of the mountain some distance away. There was a lot of space between them. David then shouted to the people and to Abner, son of Ner, "Abner, are you going to answer?" Abner responded, "Who are you to be shouting at the king?" David said to Abner, "Aren't you a man? Who is like you in Israel? So why haven't you kept watch over your lord the king? For someone came into the camp to destroy your lord the king. This thing that you have done is not good. As the Lord lives, you deserve to die, because all of you have not kept watch over your master, the Lord's anointed. Now look around. Where are the king's spear and the jar of water that was next to his head?" Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is this your voice, David, my son?" David said, "It is my voice, my lord the king." He added, "Why does my lord pursue his servant? What have I done? What evil is there in my hand? So please, let my lord the king listen to the words of his servant. If it is the Lord who has stirred you up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it is other people, may they be cursed before the Lord, for they have driven me out today so that I cannot remain in my share of the Lord's inheritance. They keep saying, 'Go serve other gods.' Now, therefore, do not let my blood fall to the earth away from the presence of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out searching for a flea, or like someone who hunts for a partridge in the mountains." And Saul said, "I have sinned. Come back, David, my son, for I will not harm you anymore, because my life was precious in your eyes today. I have acted like a fool and have made a terrible mistake." David responded, "Look, here is your spear, O king. Let one of the young men come over and get it. May the Lord deal with every man according to his righteousness and his faithfulness, because the Lord handed you over to me today. But I would not stretch out my hand against the Lord's anointed. Just as your life was precious in my eyes today, so let my life be precious in the Lord's eyes, and let him deliver me from all persecution." And Saul said to David, "May you be blessed, David, my son. You will certainly accomplish great things, and you will certainly remain successful." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his own place. David said to himself, "Any day now, I will be swept away by the hand of Saul. The best plan for me is to escape immediately to the land of the Philistines. And Saul will give up searching for me within the borders of Israel, and I will escape out of his hand." So David set out with the 600 men who were with him and crossed over to Achish, son of Maok, king of Gath. David stayed with Achish at Gath, he and his men, each man with his family, including David with his two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail from Carmel, who had been Nabal's wife. Saul was told that David had fled to Gath, so he did not continue searching for him anymore. David said to Achish, "If I have now found favor in your eyes, assign me a place to live in one of the towns in the countryside. Why should your servant live in the royal city with you?" So that day Achish gave him Ziklag. That is why Ziklag belongs to the kings of Judah to this day. The length of time that David spent in the territory of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. David and his men would go out and raid the Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites, peoples who had been living in the land for a very long time. Their territory extended from the beginning of Shur all the way to the land of Egypt. When David attacked a land, he did not leave even one man or woman alive. He would carry off the sheep, the cattle, the donkeys, the camels, and the clothing. Then he would return and come back to Achish. Achish would ask, "Where have you carried out a raid today?" David would answer, "Against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of the Jerahmeelites, or against the Negev of the Kenites." David would not keep even one man or woman alive to bring them to Gath. He said, "If I do, they would inform on us. They would say, 'This is what David did, and this is what he has been doing the entire time he has been living in the territory of the Philistines.'" Achish trusted David, and he said, "He has made himself a real stench to his people Israel, so he will remain my servant forever." In those days, the Philistines brought together their armies to prepare for war against Israel. Achish said to David, "You certainly understand that you must go along with me in the army, you and your men." David said to Achish, "When I do, you will know what your servant can do." Achish said to David, "When you do, I will make you my bodyguard permanently." At this time, Samuel was dead, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, which was his hometown. Saul had banished the mediums and spiritists from the land. The Philistines joined forces and set up camp at Shunem. Saul brought all Israel together, and they set up camp at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was terrified and trembled with fear. Saul inquired of the Lord, but the Lord did not answer him through dreams or through Urim or through prophets. Then Saul said to his attendants, "Find a woman who consults the spirits of the dead for me, so that I can go to her and inquire of her." His servant said to him, "As a matter of fact, there is a woman at Endor who consults the spirits of the dead." So Saul disguised himself and put on different clothing. Then he went with two men, and they visited the woman at night. He said, "Please consult a spirit for me. Bring up for me the person I named to you." The woman said to him, "Look, you must know what Saul has done. He has cut off mediums and spiritists from the land. Why then are you setting a death trap for me to make me die?" Saul swore to her by the Lord, "As the Lord lives, you will not be punished for this." Then the woman said, "Who is it that you want me to bring up for you?" He said, "Bring up Samuel for me." When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed and said to Saul, "Why have you deceived me? You are Saul." The king said to her, "Do not be afraid. What do you see?" The woman said to Saul, "I see a powerful spirit coming up out of the earth." He said to her, "What does he look like?" She said, "An old man is coming up. He is covered with a robe." Saul recognized that it was Samuel, and he bowed with his face to the ground to show respect. Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Saul answered, "I am in dire straits because the Philistines are waging war against me, and God has departed from me. He no longer answers me through prophets or through dreams. That is why I have called you, so that you can let me know what I should do." Samuel said, "Why do you ask me, since the Lord has departed from you and has become your adversary? The Lord has done exactly what he told you through me. The Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the Lord's voice and did not execute his fierce wrath on Amalek, the Lord has done this to you today. What's more, the Lord will deliver Israel into the hands of the Philistines along with you. Tomorrow, you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines." Saul immediately fell full length on the ground. Not only was he terrified because of Samuel's words, but he also had no strength left because he had eaten no food all that day and all that night. The woman came to Saul and saw that he was terrified. So she said to him, "Look, your servant has obeyed you, and I have taken my life in my hands. I have listened to the words you spoke to me. Now please listen to your servant and allow me to set some food in front of you. Eat, so that you will have strength when you go on your way." Saul refused and said, I will not eat. But his attendants, together with the woman, strongly urged him, and he listened to them. So he got up off the ground and sat on the bed. The woman had a fattened calf at the house. She quickly butchered it. She took flour, kneaded it, and baked unleavened bread with it. She set it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. Then they got up and left during the night. John 11, 1 through 54. Now a certain man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus was sick, was the same Mary who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent a message to Jesus saying, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When Jesus heard it, he said, "This sickness is not going to result in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed in the place where he was 2 more days. Then afterward, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, recently the Jews were trying to stone you, and are you going back there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? If anyone walks around during the day, he does not stumble because he sees this world's light. But if anyone walks around at night, he stumbles because there is no light on him." He said this and then told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." Then the disciples said, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will get well." Jesus had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was merely talking about ordinary sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sake that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too, so that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. Many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary was sitting in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even if he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never perish. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world." After she said this, Martha went back to call her sister Mary. She whispered, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet gone into the village, but was still where Martha met him. The Jews who were with Mary in the house consoling her saw that she got up quickly and left, so they followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They told him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Jesus was deeply moved again as he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. "Take away the stone," he said. Martha, the dead man's sister, told him, "Lord, by this time there will be an odor, because it has been 4 days. Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." After he said this, he shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The man who had died came out with his feet and his hands bound with strips of linen and his face wrapped with a cloth. Jesus told them, "Loose him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came to Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the Sanhedrin. They asked, "What are we going to do? Because this man is doing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation." But one of them, Caiaphas, who was the high priest that year, said to them, "You know nothing at all. You do not even consider that it is better for us that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus was going to die for the nation, and not only for that nation, but also in order to gather into one the scattered children of God. So from that day on, they plotted to kill him. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked about openly among the Jews. Instead, he withdrew into a region near the wilderness to a town called Ephraim. And he stayed there with his disciples. Psalm 117. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, all you nations. Worship him, every race of people. For his mercy overwhelms us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 15, 22 and 23. Plans fail without advice, but where there are many advisors, they succeed. Giving an apt response with his own mouth makes a person happy, and a word at the right time, oh, how good. Father, we thank you for your word, and yes, what the proverb says is so true. A word at the right time, how good. And we thank you that these words come regularly from the scriptures into our lives, and how good they are. And when we become available to you and aware of your presence and can speak a word, how good. And we can say it at the right time. Help us to watch out for these opportunities that you bring our way. And Father, we also thank you for the territory that we are in the scriptures as we continue this journey between David and Saul's life. We clearly see David holding on for dear life, depending on you to be the deliverer. You would be the only savior, and his hope was in you alone. And then we watch Saul, at this point, having things gotten so convoluted that He's bringing up Samuel from the dead with his spirit is trying to find out what he's supposed to do. And so we are watching these paths, and they have deviated, and they are going in different directions. And we look forward to watching the story unfold and applying it to our lives. Thank you for this week. Thank you for loving us and being patient with us. We thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing and all that you have yet to do in this year in our hearts. And so we love you and we worship you. And we give word, voice to our gratitude. And we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com, that is home base, and that is where to find out what's happening around here. And so check in. The Daily Audio Bible app will let you do all of that in the palm of your hand. So check out like the community section. This is where the prayer wall is. This is where to get connected. The Daily Audio Bible shop has a lot of categories with a number of resources available for our journey. So check it out. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you, humbly. We couldn't do what we're doing if we didn't do it together, and thankfully, day by day, step by step, we're moving forward through this year and through the scriptures and through life together, and so thank you, humbly, for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you, and I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, this is Jeremiah. I'm calling in for prayer because I just moved to an entirely different country, and I don't fluently speak the language, and I'm missing my friends back in America, and it's difficult. And on top of that, I am having a very big change to my schedule whenever that happens. Everything goes crazy, and I don't know how to take it. And also, there's someone that I like back in America, and my brain is possibly thinking about them a bit too much and overthinking situations. And I'd like to not like them anymore, or at least be able to think differently to where I'm not consumed by it. And that I'd be able to find good godly friends here and form community, that we'd be able to keep each other accountable, and that I'd be able to do more things because I feel like I'm not doing enough. I can't remember the last time, really, I preached the gospel, or so should I say, I remember the last time, but it was years ago, and I'm also have been injured for about a year and a half, and I'm running out of time for this prayer request. There's lots of other stuff going on that I don't even know how to talk about in the next 10 seconds, so keep me in your prayers, please. Thank you. God bless.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible. This is Christy, God's flower in South Carolina. I don't normally call in, but I always hear your prayers and pray for you all. Thank you, Brian, and all your family for all that you do for us. This is a life-saving podcast. Anyways, I'm calling today because I have been taking care of my parents for the past 7 years, and I have to move out of their house due to they both have passed away and I have to find a new house, but I don't know what kind of money that involves, etc. And I just need your prayers for clarity to find the right home for my animals and I, and for all of my mom's plants. And I want to find a forever home. I feel so grateful that I was able to take care of my parents for the past 7 years and see them to the end, for them to go to heaven. But I guess it's time for me to start a new journey, and I'm scared, and I don't know which way to turn, and I need your prayers. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. I have been a longtime listener and am calling for the first time due to an urgent need in our family. I'm calling anonymously until we know for sure what's going on. Our precious little girl, she's nearly 8. Her personality has suddenly changed in the last several months. There's just something different. And her grades went from excellent to falling. We got a text from a teacher at school that she was alone on the playground crying. And this is a little girl who was always surrounded by friends and so joyful. But she was alone on the playground crying, and the teacher talked to her, and she said she had seen people following her and watching her, and she was scared. And now she is seeing people following her and watching her everywhere, even at home, even in the bathroom. And we were told by a therapist that even though she's young and it's rare, it could be schizophrenia. And we are just devastated. So we are coming against this in the name of Jesus. We're coming against mental illness. This little one, we didn't know she was ours, and we found her a couple of months after she was with her biological mother, who is now in jail. Anyway, she was severely neglected and very malnourished when we got her, but she's been doing great, and now we have this, and everybody's scared. The family is scared, so we just stand up against the fear and in faith and ask that you would pray with us. Thank you so much. We're calling her our little girl. Thank you.
James, the teacher, this is the road toad. I heard you recently say that you have messed up all the gifts that God gave you. And that hit me. I want to share with you something, and that is that Hebrews 8:12 says that I will be merciful to their iniquities, our iniquities, and I will hold their sins against them no more. I will not remember them anymore. So the other day I was at a meeting, and in that meeting, the leader said, I'll explain to you what that means. When he says, I will remember your sins against you no more, he's not going to hold that sin against us. He's not going to punish us for our sins, because the punishment has already been given. Now, you and I, we can punish ourselves. We can beat ourselves up over past sins. But God doesn't do it, and he doesn't want us to either. This is the 17th